I'm Georgie Crawford. This is the Good Glow Podcast, and this is the Bolognese story. We all have a story, and I believe by telling them, we can inspire and empower each other on our self-care journey. This season, I've teamed up with L'Oreal Professional Paris. You probably know that I'm a big fan of good hair, and the Steampod 3.0 with patented steam technology is the go-to hairstyler for pros. The best thing is, whether you feel like creating natural looking waves or want to go straight and sleek, the steam pod can do both. The 3.0 is now thinner and lighter for improved comfort when styling. It has an integrated water tank for steam, a continuous steam flow and heat control for less damaging styling. Available in L'Oreal Professional partner salons nationwide. I'm starting this episode off with a whole load of gratitude. Thank you for tuning in today. I'm so delighted you're enjoying this season, and I'm blown away by the reaction to my podcast with Courtney Smith and Bonnie Ryan. You know, there's been something really special about this season, the theme of signs, which I can't believe we're all still getting, and I will continue that theme on this episode, and I can't wait to tell you what happened this week. I am in Spain at the moment, and although my miracle mornings are starting a little later, I am getting up much earlier and enjoying filling up my own cup before the day starts. And I was thinking of all this time that I find myself with early in the morning. And one of the mornings this week at home, when my alarm went off early, I asked myself, how come it's so easy to get up? So when I worked in radio, my alarm would go off at 4:45 and I had to get up because I had no option. But now that I work for myself, it would be kind of easy to hit the snooze button and roll over. But since I read The Miracle Morning, that hasn't happened. And I was thinking about it one morning this week, and I suppose the answer became clear. So I get up early now because I know how I'm going to feel. So I know I'm going to feel happiness because I've put things in place like meditation, a little bit of exercise, or just a slower morning infused with time. And that sense of owning the first hour just makes me feel happier. And I thought, why didn't I want to get up before? And it was because I didn't know how I was going to feel. Was it going to be a good day or a bad day? I had no idea how things were going to pan out. So if you do get up earlier this week, tag me in your 5-star moments. So many of you have started to do it, and the messages I've been getting have been amazing. Keeping in line with my podcast with Courtney and Bonnie so far, there's been a story that I've wanted to tell on The Good Glow for quite some time. And I felt like this week, you know, with us talking about signs and giving ourselves time and appreciating the smaller things in life, I thought this is the perfect time for Kaz Morris O'Leary to tell us her Bolognese story. So Kaz lost her husband, Rua, 13 years ago. But the series of events that happened right before his death changed her entire life. She's created the Bolognese philosophy, which is a way to get each other home and encourage us to be present for the people that really matter. So if you're busy, stressed, overworked, endlessly tired, suffering from burnout, overwhelm, and you feel like there's never any time, or maybe you just need a reminder of how precious life really is, this is the podcast for you. And please send it to someone who you feel needs to hear this message. Right after I recorded this podcast, I had a deep appreciation for my life, and I went down to the pool. Jamie and Pia were swimming around, and I sat on the edge, put my legs in the water and looked down, and there was a tiny black feather. I know, it's absolutely unbelievable. So that was just a reminder for me that this is the perfect episode for us all this week. Just to mention, before we get into it, that our retreat is happening in September in the stunning Wicklow Escape. We're going to have forest bathing, cooking with love, circles, movement, breathing. We're going to sit around and eat our meals together. We're going to switch off from the world, and we're going to give back to ourselves. We're going to remind each other of how precious life really is. And I'm so excited to reveal all that we've planned, because this retreat has been a year in the making. So I'll leave a link in the episode show notes, or you can drop me a DM on Instagram if you'd like the link. So let's get into Kaz, and I hope you enjoy. Kaz, thank you so much for joining me on the Good Glow today. I'm really grateful for your time. Where in the world are you speaking to us from right now?
Well, thank you for having me, Georgie. I am coming in live from Long Beach, California right now. We are in summer and it's super hot, but I'm grateful to be here.
What brought you to California and what's your life like there?
Yeah, I came to California in 2019 for a job in the technology sector. And I've stayed here for it. And due to COVID, I became 100% remote as well, which was completely, I didn't expect that at all, but I've seen a lot of America and having a good time using the new remote angle for working. Yeah.
So what's your days like in California? Like, are you an early riser? You know, what do you do?
I'm probably the most earliest riser I know of. So I always have been. I think it comes from a generation of parents being into like markets when I lived in New Zealand. And so we're always up at like dawn getting ready. But yeah, I'm always up super early. My brain automatically wakes up about 5 and I lie there kind of rolling through my day. And I'm 100% remote. So I do a lot of meetings on screen, which is great. I have an incredible global team. So I'm constantly speaking in different time zones, and I'm in a lot of the virtual reality space right now. So I'm also moving into like being an avatar and turning up to meetings at the moment, which is mind blowing if you had told me that 10 years ago.
I don't even know what that means. Oh my God, that sounds fab. And this is interesting, right? So I started, I read The Miracle Morning over the last couple of weeks. I don't know if you've ever read that book, but I've started to get up earlier. And what I really found fascinating is that in The Miracle Morning, like, you get up to work on yourself as opposed to starting work at the crack of dawn. So do you have a little kind of morning routine just for you?
Yeah, I my cat usually wakes me up first. She will jump on my chest and give me the hurry up as soon as she sees me start moving. It's hilarious. And then once I get up, I do a couple of things that I'm trying to bring in a few more habits as I go. One is just I drink 2 huge glasses of water for like a basic detox point of view. That has been fantastic. And then I always do a little meditation, like even if it's just 5 minutes, just something to ground before the work influx hits, and some movement and a bit of sunlight. And even if those things are just 5 minutes of each, then I feel like a completely different person. If I kind of roll out of bed and go straight into working on a screen, it just doesn't really go well for me for the whole day. I need that human process of light, movement, grounding, and then I'm good.
Yeah, it's absolutely life-changing. Kaz, I first came across you a few years ago through our mutual friend, Claire McKenna, who is an earth angel herself. And she told me that I had to watch this video that you had posted on Facebook. And I remember sitting in the office watching this video, and it was a moment in time that I'll never forget. And I think we have these moments in life where we learn a lesson, a life-changing lesson. Now, I went on after watching that video, and I suffered from burnout and I was diagnosed with cancer, and I had to learn everything the hard way myself. But you have been spreading this incredible philosophy. But can you tell us the Bolognese story in your words? I just would love to hear what I heard all those years ago, but in person right now.
Yeah, of course. So it all really kicks off. I was working in the advertising agency world and doing, you know, really, really long hours when you talk about burnout. I was in the office. It was about 6 p.m. and we were all in there, and it looked like it was going to be an all-nighter. Anyone who's worked in the agency world knows what that grind is like when a pitch comes in. it's all hands on deck and your kind of personal life falls to the side. And so I had been living that kind of life for a few years. And I got a call on my phone and it was my husband, Rua. And he said to me, you better be in that car on your way home. He made this amazing bolognese and he's like, I've made bolognese. Please tell me that you're in the car on the way home. And usually these conversations kind of didn't go that well for him and I. We had been together for like 13 years and I was a complete workaholic. You know, that gratification, that kind of dopamine hit of the strive of keep climbing up the ladder. And I would usually push back on these requests, you know, like, please come home at a normal time, you know, a basic human relationship request. But there was just something in his voice this night where I just responded with an immediate yes. I'm like, of course, I'm going to come home. And that was not the way that it would usually go. And so I walked back into the boardroom and I just said to my team, look, I've got to go home. I've kind of promised to be somewhere. They looked a little surprised because I was always hands on deck, staying in the office as well. But I hopped in the car and I went home. I followed my intuition and my gut just said, just get out of there tonight. You know, everything else can wait. And so I went home and he was so pleased. I was only 15 minutes late. And so he was like, this is amazing, which kind of makes me feel a little bit sad now. But as I walked in, he had this huge smile on his face and he had made his bolognese and it was already in the bowl and he was handing it to me. And we stayed in and had a really amazing night together, just a complete ordinary domestic night. Watched a movie, ate bolognese, went to bed. But the reason why that decision on that night was the kind of biggest decision I've ever made that has affected me for so many years now is because I lost him in an accident the following day. And I had no idea that would be our last night. And I go over and over in my head, even the 15 minutes that I was late, like I punished myself a lot for that. What would I do with an extra 15 minutes with him? And I keep going back to what if I'd missed it? Like the grief of sudden loss of your significant partner is so hard anyway, but can you imagine punishing yourself for not being there for the last night? I can't even imagine what the grief would have been like knowing I had to put work first and miss that last night with him. And so that's kind of where the bolognese philosophy has come from, is about, you know, life isn't forever themed and you kind of just need to pause and reset and take those moments. And whatever bolognese means to you, bolognese is anything that warms your heart and fills your soul. And so I've really used his significant, like his like legendary bowl of bolognese that he would make because he was a foodie and he always invited everyone around to our house and wanted to feed them. If he made you a meal, that was him giving you friendship. And so that was where bolognese has come from.
God, there's so many thoughts running through my mind when I listen to the story. And can you remember much of that night? Or I would imagine that, or I don't know, but does it get blurry for you?
There are parts that I remember crystal clear, like pulling up in the driveway and him fleeing the door open because he was like, oh my God, she actually came home. I remember that crystal clear. I remember his huge smile. He had this beautiful, huge smile. I remember that. I remember sitting on the couch with him and he had agreed to watch this really soppy romantic movie with me. She had refused
what was it
a
called?
Few days earlier. I need to go back and remember the name. Someone asked the other day, when you say what parts are crystal clear and what parts aren't, I'm like,
yeah.
Oh my God.
Doesn't matter what the film was. Yeah.
But I do go over in my head a lot, like, did I really thank him for the meal? Did I tell him that I loved him? You know, was I 100% present? I especially in that first year after the loss, I did go on replay quite a lot in a torturous way. Just wanted to make sure that I made him feel so loved and so that he really felt it on that last day, you know, and I think I did a good job. I mean, he was the one showing me that he was giving the love that night with regards to cooking. I just keep going over my head. I'm just like, God, did I thank him? Did I tell him how great the meal tasted? But the most crystal clear moment was when we lost him the following day in an accident. We were saying, like, going off on our days, and he was going off on his day, and he turned around and he gave my bum a really hard pinch. And I never forget that, because it was just so him in true Rua style. It was like a good pinch on the bum and a huge bear hug. And I'm so thankful that that was our last moment together. Was, and yeah, after 13 years, there was just so much love and cheekiness.
When you think of, like, last moments with someone, like, the fact that you have that, like, you're so lucky, because I'm sure for so many people, you know, and they always say, don't go to bed on an argument, and you think, you know, it'll never happen to me. But the fact that you had that together is so incredibly special, and it's such a powerful message for the world. When you say that, you know, your gut got you out of the office that night, what do you think made him make the bolognese and get the wine and agree to the movie?
He was going away for a couple of nights. So there was a little bit of, I want quality time with you before I go away. He was going on a boys trip. So there was that as well. That was kind of really putting a little bit of emergency on making sure we had a beautiful night together. So thankful for that as well. You know, when you think about it, you're like, oh wow, like, imagine if that hadn't been a factor, would have I just stayed? You know, it added to the reason for me, I've got to go home because I might not see him for a couple of nights. And the other weird thing is, I had this conversation, I'm like, this is so bizarre. I was driving home from work, I haven't talked about this before, driving home from work on that night, and I had this little thought. I was like, oh God, I hope he's okay on the boys trip. And then I was like, he's a grown man, he's gonna be fine. And I was going back and forth with myself. I was like, it's gonna be fine. What are you, how ridiculous. And I gone back over that as well. I was like, where was that coming from? Really interesting, the things that bubble up and the intersection of little signs that may have been there, but you just kind of push them away. But at least the big one was there, which was get home now.
Yeah. And it's almost like in this weird way that you both knew or something. And of course you didn't, but just the way the whole night panned out. When you think about back to that time, I mean, did you ever think you'd survive it?
No. It's, you know, anyone who's gone through grief and, you know, like, this is part of the human condition. You know, we go through these dark times as well, the super amazing, beautiful light times. But there were moments, it's, you go through this, I call it funeral euphoria, where it happens and you go through this, like, well, I did personally, this euphoria moment of so much love and so much gratefulness to, like, almost gets you through the funeral stage because you're surrounded by incredible friends and family. I was so lucky. And then that drops, and then you go into the darkness, and then it's like, oh my God, this is awful. And there were times when my job was being a creative, and there were times where I was thinking, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to return to work, because how do I think about happy ideas? I'm like, I'm in the dark cave here, and I do not see a way out. And it got really dark. Not that I was suicidal, but I was at times very, friends were keeping a really close eye on me. I lost a lot of weight. I kind of stopped eating because food was joy with him. And I just was like, that's gone. Got really thin. And I got to the point, I haven't talked about this before either, where I got this really bad chest infection. And I let it really get to me. I was like, hey, consequence, if this just takes me over and I float off into another place, then so be it. Dark, dark times. And my best friend, who knew me so well, she hadn't heard from me for a couple of days. And she called me and she said, how sick are you? And I didn't answer. And she put down the phone and she came straight around, took me to the emergency room, and I'd managed to let my chest infection like almost start spreading down to my organs. So I was in dire straits and ended up spending 2 weeks in hospital to get me out of it. But that's the darkest of dark. I reached right down to the pit and then I started crawling out from there. I had to go into the grief. I got a house out at this beautiful place called Pihau Beach for 2 weeks on my own. And just went into it, really went into it. Totally broke down and just tried to work out how I was going to surface. And there's quite a lot going on. But you develop things like I never had before, social anxiety, going out to public and everyone knowing that you've been through this tragedy. That was really hard for me. I felt like everyone's eyes were like lasers and I was like, I can't cope.
Yeah.
And started having panic attacks and all those types of things, trying to readjust to society and carry on with whatever that means.
Yeah. And that, like, finding out who you are without him and without the life that you had built for yourself, it must feel like, I just can't even imagine what that must feel like.
Yeah, because you've been a two. Like, we were together since I was 18. We grew up together. He was my person. I remember getting some counseling and the person was a holistic approach on grief and told me something that I've carried with me for so long. I was going through really full-on separation anxiety. I was like, I can't believe he's just not here. And the separation of it's just so overwhelming. And she said, how about we look at it in a different way? You were together for 13 years. You're basically half him. Like, you've almost shared every cell in your body together in a way. And I was like, huh, okay, half her. All the things I've learned from him, all the experiences I've had with him. And I was like, that really helped me kind of step up and be like, okay, let's do this. I can like have his presence with me this whole time. And that really helped me come out of my shell. It was just such a nice, some words and a different perspective that have carried me through.
Wow, I've actually have chills after hearing that, because that is such a beautiful way to look at it, isn't it? That like you can continue to shine his light. Did you ever ask for signs? Like you said that the joy of food was taken. Like what were you left with, and what, you know, did you go back to loving food? Did you ask for signs? Like, how did you work your way through all that?
He's a very noisy spirit. I will say that. Oh, he's hilarious. He's 100% around all the time. I have signs and I have his name Rua, although it means red in Gaelic, also means two in Māori language. Rua means number two. And so twos have always been my guiding light, and I get twos, multiple twos all the time. So I follow that. It's one really big thing. Music, there was one song that he would sing to me all the time. And it just happened yesterday. Must have been because this podcast is coming up and he's like, yeah, you're going to be talking about me. Woo!
What song is it?
Pina Colada song by Escape. Yeah, if you like Pina Coladas.
Yes.
It's a love song. And if you go back and listen to the lyrics, it's beautiful about a couple who had been together for a while and they were starting to go their own separate ways. And then the guy in the song puts an ad in the paper to meet someone. And the person who answers it ends up being his wife. And they rekindle and find out all these things that they didn't know about each other. And he used to thought that was the most beautiful lyrics. He loved it so much. And he'd be singing it in the shower. When we go on holiday, we always had to order pina coladas and it always to sing the song then. And I went to my local coffee shop, Good Time, in Long Beach, and they were making pina colada coffee and I can never resist it. And then we started humming the tune and the lady behind the counter's like, I love that song so much. It's about this love story. And I was like, barely trying not to like. And so I went to and so that happens a lot. I was in Machu Picchu, the most random place ever, in this tiny little coffee shop, and I was just about to start the climb and the song started playing there. I was like, what?
Oh my god.
So that happens a lot in like really amazing places. So yeah,
that must be just so reassuring and feel like a hug from him almost, or like, you know, a little kind of joyful moment like that you're sharing together, even though he isn't physically here. And I really believe in signs. It's actually so weird because they've been a real theme on my podcast this season, and I never planned that to happen. And it always this really strong theme emerges from each season. I'm in season 12 now, and signs have been huge this season. So I'm so happy to hear that you got your sign yesterday. Kaz, is this a really weird question to ask you, but how do you feel when you see like bolognese on a menu, or have you ever eaten it again, or what does that do for you?
All the time. I love seeing it. I love cooking it for people. My family make it for people on special occasions. It's become this beautiful currency of love, which I think is incredible. When Bolognese Day, on the like kind of the last day that we had the meal together, I have friends and family globally, and we all cook the meal and we all post. So it's our way of connecting and linking. Places I've worked have been the most incredible support. I work at Meta here as a product lead for creative storytelling. And there's an office in LA, and they've encouraged me to get up and tell the story. They've traveled me around the world to share it with different employees. They've been the most incredible support. And when we were building the new LA office, they have got all these meeting rooms, and they named one of the meeting rooms Home for Bolognese. And I didn't know they were going to do it. And when I walked in, I just burst into tears. I was like, no way. And so that has blown me away so much. And then I got a meeting invite the other day, and it's from someone in the LA office, and it comes out the meeting room, Home for Bolognese. I was just like, this is amazing. So I love it. I love that it's become a phrase, get home for your Bolognese, meaning whatever you need to warm your heart. I love that the food comes, bubbles up, and everyone pauses when they see Bolognese, and we cook it together annually every year, and he knows and he's happy. He's like, it's not as good as mine, but sure, go for it. So much, and there's so much more to do with it, you know. I love it. Love it so much.
I'm so glad I asked you that question, because I wanted to ask it for the whole podcast, but I was like, is that a really weird thing to ask? So I'm so glad that I did. So you're going now and you're telling this Bolognese story, and it's so amazing to hear that it's been embraced by Meta and like these huge companies that you would think would, you know, people would just be working all the time, or maybe they are, and that's why there's a need for it. But what exactly is getting home for Bolognese, or, you know, what sort of impact is it having on people? How can we do it? How can we practice it?
Yeah, and there's a few ways. One is just check in on each other and really understand what people need to get home for, you know. And you don't have to be a manager to do that. You just need to be a thoughtful colleague. You know if, like, I mean, when I've told this story a few times, it's triggered a lot. It's triggered a lot of conversations about what does Bolognese mean for you in your work circle, and then people going around and being like, Bolognese for me is being the first face that my kids see when they get out of school. I was like, okay, that's super important for me to know, that I need to help you get home at this time, because that is what Bolognese is for you. And then other people will really openly share that Bolognese for them, maybe they're caring for a parent, or maybe it's just that you need to get to a yoga class and go and see the ocean today. Bolognese for me is also like, I need to see the sunset so that I know I haven't missed a bit of magic in the day. I know that it just didn't wash over me and I stood for a minute and was like, okay, this day happened and it was amazing. So the way that people can be part of Bolognese is come in at any level you want, watch the video, send it to your teams, have a moment to debrief and understand what does Bolognese time mean to everyone in your immediate work team. Does anything need to change? Can we reset certain things? Are people morning people or night people? That's a big thing. I'm a morning person. If you're really trying to get me to work late at night, that's going to get me to the burnout as fast as possible. And I think it's really good to understand where people are in that spectrum. check things like deadlines. I mean, the word deadline freaks me out because, you know, that's how you kind of feel after you get through it.
Yeah.
You know, really involve human consideration for times in our timeline, because you know what, people are burning out more than ever right now. They really are. Even from work from home, the lines are blurred like you've never seen it. So if you to get on board and be part of it, watch the video. There's also a way that you can you know, sign a little oath between each other, which is the Bolognese guardian oath, that I'm going to look out for you, you're going to look out for me. These are the basic things.
So it's kind of like if you're sitting beside someone and you're close, you know, you're chatting all the time. It's like, you get me home and I'm going to get you home.
Exactly. Like, be the guardian for each other. You know, you just need, sometimes you just need that one person. If it's not a huge change that you can make from the top down in every company, you just need that one person who's looking out for you. One Bolognese guardian who's like, where are you? Have you wrapped up your meetings? Why are you in a meeting this late? Can we move it to tomorrow? How urgent is it? Like, these simple questions to ask that just keep everybody putting themselves first from a wellness point of view.
And Kaz, like, when, you know, you've gone around the world, you've told your story, it's having an impact. Is there a standout piece of feedback that you've ever gotten? And I know that's probably a really tough question.
The best feedback I have had from doing it in a public talk was an action. So I was in Singapore for a women's conference, and there was probably about maybe 1,000 to 1,500 people in the audience. And I got up and I told the story. And at the end of it, I was like, you know, really check on each other. If there's anything, you know, how you've all probably, you might have had something that's happened during your day with your significant other. Like, now is your time to reset. You know, what do you, how do you want to take this story that isn't, this is now your story? And I looked around the audience and there are a lot of people just breaking down from whatever they're going, whatever was going on in their own life. And I saw about five people get up and leave the room with their phones. And I was like, I wonder what that was about. And then two of them came and approached me and they were just tears coming down their face. And they said the story and the reminder and the reset that it gave their brain and their heart on how finite time is made them rush out of the room and call their partner immediately to apologize for the way the day had started. And I just thought that that was the best possible feedback and impact and action in the moment that had been taken. And I was like, oof, thank you for telling me that. That's where it got you to. That's amazing.
Because that's what you're doing. You're giving people back time. So it's like, I just think that you can go through your whole life just being so busy and saying to your kids, you know, I'll talk to you when we'll have the 2 weeks and holidays, I'll bring you to Disneyland, like whatever it is, you're just promising time in the future, because whatever you're doing right now, like you're in survival mode, you're working, you feel like you have to just keep giving externally. And then, you know, what's happening within your family unit. So your message is to put down the phone or get out the office door or just be present, I suppose.
Yeah, just being present. That is it. And it sounds like such an easy thing, you know, as we say it, but you got to constantly be checking yourself. That was one thing I kept going over with the last night with Rua, was I present? And I know that there would have been a part of me that was still attached to the fact that I had left the office at a time when they were all working on something and what I was going to need to do in the morning. So I already answering my own question, I wasn't 100% there. I was there physically, but I know that a part of me was still thinking about the next day. So I've beat myself up a little bit about that. But that's a learning, right? It's like totally switch off and reset and look into the eyes of the person that you're with and take in all the little moments, like how their face changes when they smile, what happened, like time to think about a compliment to give them, time to remind them that you love them so much, like telling them something that makes them laugh and just pausing for a moment.
I'll get straight back to Kaz, but first I wanted to thank L'Oreal Professional for supporting the Good Glow this season. They believe in the powerful combination of advanced research and professional expertise to give you the hair you've always wanted. Their most innovative products are used and approved by some of the greatest names in hairdressing, allowing them to be at the head of both trends and technology. And the Steampod 3.0 just got better with up to 91% less damage. It's up to 2 times faster and up to 2 times smoother styling. So this summer, what's it going to be? The blow dry effect or Hollywood waves? You can shop at all L'Oreal Professional partner salons, including petermark.ie. Tell us about, I've been talking on the podcast this season about 5-star moments. So like a 5-star moment could be, you know, like you say, the sunset or something beautiful in your day. But can you remember your last 5-star moment, or can you share a recent one with us?
Last one with Rua, or a recent one just in life in general?
Maybe both.
Yeah, of course. I have this beautiful memory of with Rua. It wasn't too long before he passed, we were just getting to go out somewhere. I think we were going to meet friends for dinner, and we're both all dressed up and we're in the lounge room, and a song came on the radio that he really liked, and he just grabbed me in the lounge room and we just had this beautiful little dance moment, like a little ballroom, impromptu little ballroom dance, and it was so funny. And there was just a lot of love in the room and a lot of joy, and I go back to that moment quite a lot. As a reminder of just being so grateful for the time together and how much love there was in the relationship, even at, you know, after so many years ago there. A moment of recently, I spent a year living in Sedona. I don't know if you spent any time there, but it is so beautiful. And a 5-star moment is I was there last weekend actually, and you walk out and it's this incredible red rock vista, and it is like, it actually, you have no words to describe it. It is just that beautiful. And I walked out, my friend's got a house there, and I walked out onto a little balcony and I just stood there and was just in awe of Mother Nature and what exists here for free for us to look at. You know, we're constantly looking for the stimulation of things to feel, to experience emotion. And it's like, it is right in front of you. And I walked out and this morning sun was hitting this red rock vista. And then this eagle was just like swooping by. And I was like, wow, so much beauty in the world. It just is so much to see.
And where did you say that was?
Sedona, Arizona.
It's interesting, isn't it, that the 5-star moments are always the moments that are free in life?
Yeah. Yeah.
Before I let you go, Kazan, this may be too personal, so feel free not to answer this question, but have you ever found love again?
A really interesting story that I have never talked about publicly. I actually did meet someone not long after Rua's passing, and it's a pretty trippy story, but it'd been a wee while, and I was out with my best friend, and she was getting really worried about me. She was like, "We need to find you someone. You are miserable and you're sad, and I get it, but come on, lady." And we were sitting in a restaurant. But one story before this is, as I was going through the grief process, I could remember Rua's whole shoulder line and the outline of his head, and like his whole beautiful broad shoulders. And I remember having a sketchbook, and I would just draw that over and over again, broad shoulders, shape his jaw down again. And I would do it over and over and over again, and I called it Rua. And then there was this beautiful place called Rangitoto in New Zealand. It looked like that shape, and I was like, ah, Ruatoto. Did that over and over again. Anyway, I was in this restaurant with my friend Vex, who's like, all right, we gotta hook you up with someone. I was like, oh my God. Do this, like, I've been in a relationship for 13 years, what do people do and say? She's like, oh my God, you're so embarrassing. And there was a beautiful man working at the restaurant, and she said, pointed at him, she's like, that is, this guy will be perfect for you. I'm blushing, I'm sitting there, and she made me write my name and number on the back of the receipt, and said, and a little note. And I was just freaking out. Anyway, we're driving back after the restaurant and my phone went and it was him. And he's like, hey, I've just finished my shift. Did you want to have a glass of wine tonight? And my best friend Bex is like, get back there immediately. I want you to tell me stories. She's also said to me, hey, do you want me to duck home and pull down the shrine to Rua you've got in the lounge room just in case, you know, something happens? She goes, because walking into that is not going to be cool. I was like,
oh. Oh my god.
And so I walked back into, I went back, I'm freaking out, I'm shaking, like, oh my god. Walked back into the restaurant and there he was, beautiful guy, so lovely. And he reached out his hand and goes, by the way, I didn't introduce myself, my name is Rua. And I was like, oh my god, I've got a story to tell you. And so I told him the story and he said, whew, it's heavy, how do you feel about it? And I said, well, we might as well take it as a sign. And he's like, okay, I'm cool with that. And then I laughed because husband Rua and I used to always joke. He used to say to me, well, when you hit your 40s, I'm going to have to find you a young boy to mow the lawns. And I'm like, I think you can, are you a young boy to mow the lawns? And he laughed. So, you know, that broke the ice. And that's classic Rua number one humor. And we ended up together for 6 years, and he is the most beautiful man. His name was the same, but nothing about him was like Rua, the complete opposite than the relationship I had just come from. And he was such an incredible man. He allowed me to fall to pieces and still be in love with someone else who wasn't on this earth and just loved me so much. And I am so thankful for him. He has those hugs that, you know, when someone hugs you and you feel all your pieces coming back together, that is him. And we're still really good friends. I'd do anything for him if he ever needed me. We went our separate ways. He was moving overseas and I was running my own agency. But those 6 years healed me like nothing else. And I know that it was really tough for a lot of Rua's, husband Rua's friends, because I went into a relationship with someone called Rua and that was just too much for some people. I understand that, but I needed that. I really, really needed it. The other trippy thing was a few months into the relationship, he said to me, I didn't tell you my full name. My full name is Rua Toto. And I was like,
oh, what? My.
And I said to him, hey, now listen, don't freak out, but I'm going to show you something. It's probably not the best opening line to say to somebody. I went and got my sketchbook and showed him pages and pages of this man's shoulders and head and just writing Rua Toto, Rua Toto, Rua Toto, oh. Rua Toto. And that, okay, look, that did freak him out a little bit. But how crazy is that? Isn't that insane?
I mean, that's another podcast in itself, is like moving on and then also probably thinking that he was sent to you by husband Rua and all of these feelings that you must have been having and, you know, losing some friends and gaining friends. And listen, like, isn't that what life is all about? All of these crazy ups and downs and moments of survival and moments of joy. And it's what being human is all about.
Yeah, completely. Yeah. Thank you for getting that story out of me. I appreciate it. It reminds me of, it's the most crazy, magical, beautiful things that happened, right?
Absolutely. And it's like, it's a tapestry of your life, you know, and, you know, sitting, you know, in Long Beach, California, and everything you've been through, and it's just to be able to connect with you on the other side of the world, and for you to remind me to be present with my child on my holiday. And it's a really important message for us all to hear today. And thank you so much for sharing it, because I know that, you know, that question that I had for you at the end that you haven't spoken about before. So thanks for showing up as yourself and being yourself and speaking your truth, because, you know, like I said, that's what makes us human.
Thank you so much.
And did he end up mowing your lawn then? Did you put him to work?
Affirmative.
Thank you so much, Kaz. You're amazing. Let's keep in touch.
Love that. Take care.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Good Glow podcast with thanks to L'Oreal Professional. If you enjoyed it, please leave a review, subscribe, so the next episode of the Good Glow will land straight in your library and you'll get a little notification for when it goes live. Thank you for all the messages. I cannot tell you how much each and every one of them mean to me. I'll see you next week.